Well, today's daf is that Mem Dalet. We're holding at the Mishnah right on top. Aviyu lifanav maliach tefillah upati imo. Something salty now is brought in front of the. We're talking about the seder of the Suda. Astonishingly, the Mishnah says, "Mevarach al maliach upati tapat." So you make a broch on the herring, and then you don't have to make a broch on the bread. Well, that's pretty amazing.
What kind
of herring? Well, we got to find out what kind of herring the Gemara is going to ask. Shapat feilalo, zeklal kosher hu ikar v'imot feila, mevorech ala ikar u'poteret at feila. Even sometimes the tafel could be pot. Ask the Gemara, what is such a thing? You're telling me that sometimes the herring could be so good that the bread is considered to be tefillah for the herring. That's rather amazing. That's true. Baby's herring is indeed amazing. You know, I don't think I got around to thanking you for your Purim herring. Amazing. In any event, how is it possible such a thing? All along we've been taking for granted chameshes minei doga and chashivas of pot. All of a sudden, herring is more important than pot. How could it be? Omer vacha bereder of avira omer vashi. We're not talking about a normal case. Tosfos learns that we're still talking about herring. The only thing is, what did you eat before the herring? Rashi learns that we're now changing the pshat in the Mishnah maliach to refer to something else, not herring. So Omar Ravashi here, it's talking about Bo'ochle Perod Ginosar Sham. We're talking about a case in which people ate the Perod of the Kinneret. And those Perod, Rashi learns, we're talking about the Maliach is those Perod. They were so incredibly sweet that they used to have to put salt on them, otherwise you just faint from the sweetness. Tosfos learns that after eating these Perod Ginosar, you'd have to have some salted herring just because otherwise, the sweetness is just completely, your mind is ready to go. So there, in that case, the herring indeed is the ikar, and the bread you're only eating to be able to eat the herring. But the whole ikar was that you're eating the herring because you had just finished eating perot ginosar. So Tosfos is concerned with the question of why wouldn't the perot ginosar butter everything. He says it's talking about that you didn't have that part in front of you, you bring it afterwards. From there, we actually mavasis halacha lemaisa in the ikar and tefillah relationship, that a ikar that is not yet present, or you start eating and then they bring the ikar afterwards, in that case we don't have the ikar tefillah relationship. It has to be in front of you at the time that you make it. Okay, so we have two approaches here. It's very interesting that the Shulchan Aruch brings the case of Tosfos, but doesn't say that it's talking about that you ate perot ginosar and metikos before, which of course is only the Tosfos is limiting it to where the Mishnah Berurah says that Mishnah Berurah just adds in as davar pashut based on our sugya that in a case where someone had eaten something exceedingly sweet, you find that sometimes you need a salted pretzel or something after eating a lot of too much cake, coke, and so on. Pretzel breaks the power of the sweetness. It gets overwhelming sometimes. Omer Rabba Bar Bachana Kavazina Batreid Rav Yochanan Lamecha Perot Ginosar. We used to follow Rav Yochanan, and he had this fantastic habit of going out and collecting Perot Ginosar. Of course, he sent his Talmidim out to do the collecting. So if there were 100 Talmidim with him, each one would gather 10 apiece. Bring him, 1,000 pairs. If we only had 10 Talmidim, then each one would collect 100. These perot were so big that you could put into an entire bushel basket, which is 3 saw, you could only put 100 of these fruit. Okay, so there he was with 10 bushels of fruit in front of him, and he starts munching. And of course, Rabbi Yochanan, like Rav Papa, had quite a girth, as the Gemara tells us elsewhere. So he could munch a lot. Anyway, he finished 1,000 of these. V'yachalu, he would finish the malach, u'mishtabeh, and he would swear after all that, the lo toim ziyuna, that he hadn't had any nourishment. Ziyuna, zarkadaita, what do you mean? Certainly, peirot or mezin. No, in other words, mizona. He didn't feel in any sense that he was filled. I mean, this was all like sweets. You know, he was eating, you know, what, eating trick cereal? You're supposed to get full on this? I mean, it's maybe it's very sweet and pleasant, but I still need some food. Rabbi Avu ochelad shavik sharek ledudva miafute. Rabbi Avu ate so much that he would eat when in the season. Would eat so many of these fruits that his forehead was so slippery that a fly would slip off if it tried to land on his forehead. You see, beautiful metaphors.
Isn't this what's the word we had? Nida gar
Rav Tanuta. Rav Tanuta. And he looks like he's a little bit overly indulgent in food.
Yeah,
or too hungry.
That's
something else. That's Rav Tanuta is that he grabs his food. Garga is that he takes foods where it's improper for him to take. It is more like a Rav Tanuta. But this was the tremendous chavivus of the Perot, the Eretz Yisrael, and the Ginosar, and they didn't do this every day, you know. Ravami Varavasi would go out and collect so many of these and eat Adanotur Mazayo. The hair would fall out, they would eat so much of this. Reb Shimon ben Lakish used to eat it until he got totally drunk. Adamorid. I mean, he would go really bananas. He was a dangerous guy. I mean, having been, of course, in charge of the mafia at one time, he didn't want Reb Shimon ben Lakish running around out of control. So Reb Yochanan used to send a fax over to the Bei Nesia and have him beshadle Reb Yochanan Balushi Abatra. They used to send the cops afterwards to tie him up and bring him calmly back to his house. Who might elevate him until he would cool down. He certainly couldn't have him running around like this.
This is the first case of sugar
eyes. Amazing people. Kiyasa Ravimi, Amar Ira Chatai Pelo Liyanai Amelech Bahar Amel. He's talking about the Perot of Eretz Yisrael. Let me tell you something. There was one city that Yanai Amelech had. Shoyim Mutsimi Mena Shishim Ribu Sifle Tarit Lekotitze Te'eni Merav Shabbat Merav Shabbat. There was so much fruit there that the food that they used to have to supply to the workers that were the collectors of the Te'enim, they needed 600,000 containers of chopped herring every single week just to keep these guys going. And I mean, this was just the fuel. Imagine what they were collecting. Kiyata Ravin Amar, Ilanecha, Dayala Liyana. It was a famous tree. This tree was absolutely wild. O you moridim imenu arba'im sa'a gozalot mishalosh brechot b'chodesh. They used to collect so many chicks from that one tree, young birds, I mean, of course, that they had every single month 40 sa'a, 3 cycles of eggs. Ki az Rav Yitzchak omar ir achat hayta be'eretz Yisrael v'gufnit shma. They used to call it gufnit, probably al shem im ve'hagefen, im ve'hagefen, or eshtecha ki gefen poriya, different remazim for this. Shayu ba'shmonim zugot achim kohanim, Nisuim l'shmonim zugot achayot kohanot. But in this case, they had 80 families in which 80 brothers had married 80 sisters from the other families. And that way they kept it all in the family. They didn't want to miss the kahuna and, you know, water it down at all. And to find another, I mean, they were interested, like, is this a common occurrence? They did some statistics in the census, Bodkara Bana Misuravad Narada, to see whether in Babel you had something like this. So they checked the entire Babel. The only case that they found were Rabchista's daughters. Rabchista's daughters were married to Rami Bar Chama and Ukva Bar Chama. So there you had two sisters that were married to two brothers from important families. But over there, even though the women were kohantot, the sons were not kohanim. Let me say, in the entire Bavel, you couldn't come up with one equivalent case of a single city in Eretz Yisrael that had 80 such cases. Now that's saying something. Omar Rav, talking about salting a little bit. Kol su'udah she'en ba'melach en ha'su'udah. I mean, you don't have any salt in a suda. It's not a suda. That's just entertainment. There's nothing that, like a soup or something that you can drink that's a tafshil is also not really a satisfying meal. Yeah. So here you eat various minim of the Shivat HaMinim of Eretz Yisrael, Mivarech Achareihen Shalosh Barachot Divrei Rabbi Gamliel. As we saw earlier, Rabbi Gamliel Shita, we saw before that anything which is from the Shivat HaMinim requires Birkat HaMazon at the end. V'chachomim Omrim, Bracha Achat, all you do is you say Bracha Achat Mi'en Shalosh, and you're Yotze, what we call Alamichya. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Afilu ochal shalat, v'hu mizono, mevorech alav shalosh brachot. Rabbi Akiva says, forget about the Shivat HaMinim. You eat a stew, even of vegetables, and that is what is making you full. You have to say Birkat HaMazon on that. I was going to ask, where do you find a vegetable stew that is severe? Hashota mayim litzma'o, somebody who's drinking water when he's thirsty. Tomorrow's going to be medayik. Why does it say when it's thirsty? I mean, what else are you drinking for? Mivarech shakol nihye bidvaro. Rabbi Tarfon omer borei nefashot rabot v'chesronan. According to Rabbi Tarfon, you say a borei nefashot before drinking water, not shakol. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shakol nihye bidvaro.
Amen.
I hope Rabbi Tarfon won't be upset.
Before,
yeah. By time of the Rabbi Yom Liyo.
Well,
there's a question before, what do you say a bracha after? As we'll see. This happens all too often. We're going to have to get you a little side table over there. But after having just determined the outcome of the summit conference in Waco. My time at Rabbi Gamliel, Dirtiv Eretz Chitav Sora, Eretz Asher Lobib Skenut Tochal Balechen, Viachalta Vesavata Verata, Hashem Elokecha. Mashmaud being that Viachalta Vesavata Verata is a reference to all of the above, Chita Sora, Geffen, Rimon, the Tena, all the works. Whereas the Rabbanan say, now wait, if that were the case, then why did it say in the middle, Eretz Asher Lobib Skenut Tochal Balechen? Isn't that a new beginning? So in other words, it's telling you, let's start discussing bread. Eretz asher lo b'miskenut tochal b'lechem v'yachal t'misavata v'rat. So the lechem is lo b'miskenut, and from that lechem you will feel fulfilled. It's not going all the way back to the chita v'seorah. From Gamliel Nami Eretz Yipsika Inyan, isn't that a valid point, Rabbi Gamliel? No, says Rabbi Gamliel. It's simply clarifying. Remember that when it said chita o'sorav, it hadn't been for the clarification of asher lo b'miskenut tochal b'lechem. You would have thought that munching on a chita would be sufficient also to be mechayev you on the Birkat HaMazon. Therefore, it needs to tell me that the aforementioned grains of the chita v'sorav are dafka when they are in a state of lechem asher lo b'miskenut.
Because it's referring back to one to, one
to all of them.
To one or two of the four of the seven anyway. The word
to two of the seven?
To two of the seven.
Well, no, this is telling you it's referring back to two of the seven.
Right, because the word lechem is a new thing. Since
not a new thing. Omrib Yaakov, Arid Omrib Chanina, Koshu Michameshet Haminim. If you have anything of the chameshet minei dagan, b'tchilam b'varech alav borei minei mezonot, u'l'besov bracha achat me'in shalosh. Omer rabba b'amori, omer b'yishu ben levi kosho mishiv'at ha'minim. Even if the peirot, b'tchilam b'varech borei priya etz, u'l'besov b'varech achat me'in shalosh.
Two are the Shivat HaMinim,
but those two incorporate also the subspecies. the Chamesh Taminim, but the, from the Shevach of Eretz Yisrael, it's only a Chita V'Sarach. Omele Abayel Rav Dimi, my Nihu Bracha Achat Mi'en Shalosh. What exactly is the Nusach of this, what you're calling the Bracha Achat Mi'en Shalosh? Amale, it depends. Did I skip something?
Well, no, just so the seven again.
The seven include the two, whereas the five are only a reference to the Dagon and are not a reference to Perot Eretz Yisrael.
Right, so is he saying that all seven you may co-create, including Chitzu Sorah?
No.
Even though he's saying Sheva?
Yeah. He means any Perot from the Shiva Taminim. Omalei Abayel Rav Dimi Maimi Ubracha Achat Me'en Shalosh. Omalei Alpirei Ha'Eitz Ala Eitz Apriya Eitz Atuvat HaSadev Al Eretz Chemdato Baruch Hava Shinchot Al Avotenu לכל מרפייה ולסבוע מטובה רחם השם אלוקינו על ישראל עמך ועל ירושלים עירך ועל מקדשך ועל מזבחך ותיבנה ירושלים עיר הקודש מרב ימינו עלינו לתוכה ושמחנו בה and so on. Of course there's some slight changes in the Gersaot over here. The Gra has first the Al HaMichre ועל Kakola. But we have it first. It doesn't discuss in our sugya at all the dinim of Geffen. We have to figure out the exactly whether to say ala Geffen, val priya Geffen. Okay, he has gears that includes some of these things.
Is this the Golos Nusach? Because it says that Yibnei Yerushalayim, what do they say when they're in Yerushalayim, when they live in Yerushalayim?
Sure, it's the Golos version. Well, all of our brachot.
No, but what do they say in Yerushalayim before the... Before the Chorban, what did they say?
They said the same thing. Remember, they didn't view the second Beit HaMikdash as a real vineyard. Right? They were still keeping Tisha B'Av. Because it was an interim vineyard. But the idea of Binyan Yerushalayim, the way it's supposed to be, I mean, it was the same reason we say. We say Binyan Yerushalayim, even though Yerushalayim was never as big as it is today. It's still Mubarak on Binyan Yerushalayim. We understand that Binyan Yerushalayim includes a lot more than skyscrapers. V'chotem al Oretz v'al Hamichya. And then at the end of the bracha is the al Oretz v'al Hamichya. But how exactly? That's the closing. But the question over here is, you're not allowed to close a bracha with two different issues. You must have one thing at the end of a bracha. So let's say when it comes to the whole discussion, when it comes to the Zmanim, so we say the Kadesh, both the Shabbos and Yom HaZikaron, the Moshe. Right? It's because both of those things are dependent in the Kedushas HaZmanim, so we view it as one thing. Do we say separately Oretz and Michya, or do we have to say one or the other? The Gemara wants to know, how about the actual closing of the Baruch Ata Hashem, where we close again? What do we say? Yasur Dimi Amarav, Chotim, well, he says, look, on Rosh Chodesh and Davening, you would say Mekadosh Yisrov Rosh Chodeshim. Sometimes you've used those two things as one. How about over here? Achamai, do we say Ala Aretz V'Ala Mechya, Ala Aretz V'Ala Peirot, or are those considered to be two completely different things? You see, in fact, it's one thing because the Oretz is Motzi Peirot. Rabbi Yochanan says, Al Oretz V'Ala Peirot. Actually, they're not really arguing. Halan V'Halo. It depends if you're talking about Bavel. In Bavel, you say Ala Peirot. In Eretz Yisrael, you say Al Peiroteha. Well, that's really interesting. They do the eating, and we do the brachas. And he goes, Rabbi Yochanan, you have the reverse shita over here. He said, Rabbi Chista is sitting there in Bavel, he's saying, Al Haaretz Val Peroteha. Can you explain that? So as we eat, and they say, Al Haaretz Val Peroteha. That doesn't make much sense to me. Ella Epoch, I'm sorry, I got it backwards. Rabbi Chista in Bavel, he said Al Haaretz Val Peirot. Rabbi Yochanan was in Eretz Yisrael, said Al Haaretz Val Peroteha. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Vadimi Mishum Rabbeinu.
When you do in the brachos, you have wine and you have it only works
Right. Although, again, it doesn't mention this Beferush. I mean, Tosfos is Machadish over here. On the Yain, you say Hagefen, Pri Hagefen.
And all the four words together.
According to the Rambam, you only say even on wine, Alar as well as Perot. The Klal, you're not Miyachid, a special Brok and the Chatima for Yain. You notice the Gemara doesn't mention any of this Beferush in our Girsa. And the idea of the various minim together, which we're shown to talk about, is because since in the end everything is coming back to Aretz. So the various expressions of Aretz are viewed as one thing, just like the Kiddusha Zazman is viewed as one thing, even though it's Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, etc.
So the Maisa, as far as, I mean, if you have Mezanot and wine, you would say both.
We mix them.
Yeah. But what about if you had, according to the Rambam, what if you have, given that his position?
According to the Rambam, it's even better, because you make the same bracha.
What if you had grapes and, would you still say both, or since it's an opinion to...
You say one. Rambam doesn't...
I would say, given the Rambam holds that, what do we do with Maisa if you had a bunch of grapes and you had a glass of wine? What would you say? Would you still say?
We don't follow the Rambam in this at all. So it's not really nogea to us.
So we still say on the Pero, then on the Gafa.
Right.
I thought I might make it.
Omri Yitzvah Avadini, Mishum Rabbeinu, Ala Be'ah, on eggs, Hamine Kufra, on different types of meats. Bitchilam Abarech Shakol, Ul Besov Boreinu Fashod Rabot. Avoyarkalo, if you're only eating vegetables, you don't say any broker at all after them. And you don't make a barin of fashot. Rav Yitzchak Amar Afilu Yarka, even vegetables need a broker after them, a barin of fashot. Avomayalo, if you're just drinking, you don't need a barin of fashot. Rav Papa Amar Afilu Maya. Rav Papa says even water, you should make a broker on the end. Now Marzutra, he used to follow Rav Yitzchak Bar Avadimi's psak, that only on things that are choshev, like meat, eggs, and so on, not on vegetables. Rav Shimi Bar Ashi, he would follow Rav Yitzchak's psak, that even on vegetables. And the way to remember, it's a little confusing, because we have Rav Yitzchak Bar Avadimi, and we have Rav Yitzchak. And the way to remember it is very simple. It's one did like two, and two did like one. Because Rav Yitzchak Bar Avadimi is two. It mentions him and his father. Rav Yitzchak is one. And Marzutra is one, and Rav Shimi Bar Ashi is two. It mentions his father. So all you gotta do is remember that we've got two names that are two, and two names that are one. But the one followed the two, and the two followed the one. And if that hasn't sufficiently confused you as a Simon, I don't know. Omer Rav Ashi. Anna, I'll tell you, my minhag is like this. The Chimat Karana, if I manage to remember, so then I make a burning of freshness on everything, even on water. But only if I remember. Avina Kakulu. So actually, I mean, it's interesting that what he seems to be saying is that it clearly is not very much of a choval even when I remember. I mean, you know, say the same thing about anything, you know. When I remember to put on tefillin, I put on tefillin. That's ridiculous. When I remember, Reb Shabbos, actually the Siddur of Rashi, it's brought this way, that he writes that Bracha Barayim Fashon, but he writes that it's a minhag. It's not a chiyuv. And this seems to be the marker. In other words, because I'm doing it as a minhag, so when I remember, I do it. In other words, I'm bedafka telling you, I'm not makpit to view it as a chova. You know, my head is straight, I'll do it. Tznam, kosha ta'un bracha la'acharav, ta'un bracha lefanav, but yesha ta'un bracha lefanav, ve'in ta'un bracha li'acharav. This, as we already saw back in Yida, we just had this recently, that the klali, this was in our list of kol sheh, every X has a Y, but not every Y has an X, but a whole pair of those things. This was one of those things we just had in Yida. So again, as the Gemara over there wanted to know, what exactly is this referring to? Obviously saying there's something that has a bracha before but doesn't have a bracha after. Okay. According to Yitzchak Bar Avadimi, it's clear what that is. It's vegetables. Vegetables are something that's kosher. You certainly make a bracha before, but since according to Rav Yitzchak, you have the you have your akota, which you don't say a bracha after, that's what the Mishnah is referring to. And even according to Rav Yitzchak, who holds that you do make a burin of fashot on the vegetables, but he also would agree that if you drank a Coke or something, then you wouldn't have to make a bracha afterwards. So that's lafuki maya, which we are the types of shtia. But according to Papa, who holds even after water, you make a burden of Hashon. What is the Mishnah referring to? That some things require bracha before, not after. What's that? Lafuke mitzvot. That even though you made a bracha before doing the mitzvah, you don't make a bracha after doing the mitzvah. Now, even though there are times when we are, let's say, by Birkat HaTorah, where after saying the Aliyah, you make a bracha, we have after the Kriyat HaMegillah, or after Kriyat Hallel, we do have a bracha. Those are viewed as Birkot HaShemah, rather than Birkot HaMitzvah. So we're talking over there more about the inyonim of giving Shevach v'hodoyah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in general, but not on the chiyuv of the mitzvah. So what about according to B'nai Ma'arava? Remember that in Eretz Yisrael they had a bracha from when they took off their tefillin. So bata de misalki tefilayhu mevorche asher kedishanu b'mitzvotav etzimanu lishmor chukav. So according to them, that means even on the berachat mitzvot you have a bracha after lafuke mai. So what then is the Mishnah referring to? Some things have a bracha before, not after. That's lafuke rechani. Let's tell me that Birkat HaReach, apparently because it leaves no impact on you, but you did it and it's over. If you ate, you still have the food in you. But if you just smell, the moment the smell is gone, you have nothing left of it. You don't make a bracha afterwards. Tosis, remember, Tosis Ashita, is that the B'nai Ma'arava made the bracha l'shmor chukecha only on tefillin. And the reason they did that was because they held that the drasha of yamim yamima is that you're not allowed to wear tefillin at night. So in taking off your tefillin before, and they would wear tefillin all day. So in taking off your tefillin before nightfall, you were being shomer chukav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who said to v'shamarta et chukah hazot miyamim yamima. So I'm making a bracha on that. Mashen came, we who hold that Lila is Zman Tefillin, and we don't wear it only because we're afraid you'll sleep with them. And furthermore, we don't wear Tefillin all day. So when we take off our Tefillin, we're taking it off not at a time where it's Shomer anything in particular. We don't have this bracha. Now, according to Tosis, who holds that that's what the bracha was, Tosis is bothered by the question, obvious question. So fine, so they had one mitzvah that they made a bracha afterwards. You could have said that the Mishnah is talking about all of the other mitzvahs. And indeed, because of that, Menir Chaylach HaTaisus, and hold that with the Lishmor Chukav is an example. It's not that they only made the bracha on tefillin. On any bracha, any mitzvah that was over, they would make a bracha on the finishing. Okay? Make a bracha, yeah. Rabbi Akiva Omer. Afilu Acha, oops, sorry, we skipped over here. Omer Rabbi Yanei Omerach, Koshub Ki Beitza, Beitza Tova Mimen. Let me tell you something. If you're going to eat something the size of a Beitza, then there's nothing that you could eat that eating the Beitza itself wouldn't be better for you. So instead of eating a piece of cake, take yourself an egg. Kiyotza Ravin Amar. When Ravin came, he said, you know, what we say is, Tava Beyata, Beyata Megugalta, Mishiti Kaisi Suta. One soft boiled egg is better than 60 bowls full of solet. So if these guys are going to eat solet for their cereal, 60 bowls wouldn't give you what a nice soft-boiled egg would give you. Gyoz Rabdimi Omar, Tava Beata Negugalta, Mishita. It's better over here. He goes through the different stages of boiling. So Negugalta means it's just ready to roll. That's how you check to see that it's not liquids, that the yolk can't roll around inside. So once it's boiled just sufficiently to be soft-boiled, you spin the egg. That's why we call it megugalta. So a megugalta is good, but it's as good as 6 bowls of cereal of salt. Yeah. Matvita. Now, if it's hard boiled, well, that's as good as four. Okay. Mivushalta. Now, if you got it over here hard boiled in a lot of water, that's what he was talking about. Kosher debates a bit. Remember, you took out half of the nourishment over there. I mean, it's one thing to poach an egg. Now boil it. I mean, what's going to be left in there? All right, but still, it's better than the equivalent size of any other food. Levar mi bisra, unless you're talking about eating a kibetzah worth of meat. Meat's got more nourishment in it. Rabbi Akiva omer, afilo ochar shalek. Even if you ate some stew, and that was your meal, you'd have to make a full birkat hamazon. You're telling me there's some type of stew that is considered to be sufficient nourishment to be pure mazon? Sure, says Rabashi. Kelach shel kruv shano. Kelach shel kruv will do it anyway. I mean, that's your mother didn't tell you to eat Brussels sprouts for nothing. Tana rabbanan. Tchol, if you're going to eat some spleen, it's good for your teeth, but it's bad for your tummy. Kreishin, on the other hand, if you want to eat leeks, it's bad for your teeth, but it's good for your tummy. Now, ko yerek chai, if you eat raw vegetables, morik, it's going to turn you a little bit pale and, you know, yellowish in the face there. Ko katan, anything that's not fully grown, maktin, that just cuts you down to size, you know. V'chol nefesh meshivat ha-nefesh, you got something that's really alive, puts your life back together again. We're going to explain each one of these. V'chol karov l'nefesh, anything close to the site of life, meshivat ha-nefesh brings your life back. Kruv is great for mazon. Trudin borscht, of course, that's the best thing you can eat for refuah. And woe to the house that's got turnips walking through it. All right, so let's go through each one of these. Amama. Tchol is yafla shinayim v'kosher l'vidmeyayim. Okay. Now, what if a guy wants to have the value of spleen for his teeth? Maitakarte. So what's he supposed to do? I mean, he doesn't want to suffer in his stomach. Very simple. He can chew spleen, you see, and then you split it out without swallowing it. So then you get the dental floss advantage, but you don't have the disadvantage of the swallowing. Creation, we said, are bad for your teeth. So you don't want to be chewing on leeks. Heaven only knows what they'll do to your teeth coloration. But they're great for your stomach and digestion. So what do? Ah, it's simple. You make a stew and you swallow it without chewing. That way you don't have the problem on your teeth. Ko yerek chai morik. When we say raw vegetables, we're not talking about any time you eat raw vegetables. We're talking about a guy who's a little bit pale as it is. He just came out of giving two pints to Magid David Adon. And now he's eating his first su'uda. Not a good idea to have a raw pepper. And that's not what that's, but in general, there's no problem. The Omer of Yitzchak, however, there's another problem, which is anybody who eats raw vegetables early in the morning, it's usher to talk to this guy because he smells so bad. My time in Mishum Recha. Stay away from people like that. The Omer Rabbi Yitzchak, Asur Adam Shilcha Yerek Chai Kodem Arba Shaot. Rabbi Yitzchak says it's prohibited to eat that early. And, which seems to be stressing not the person who's talking to him, but the guy who's doing the eating. So Amemar Mazut and Ravashi were sitting around, and it was early in the morning. They brought some raw vegetables. Kodem Arba Shaot. They were eating in there, they were sitting around at this health restaurant, you know. So,
kibbutz breakfast.
Yeah, kibbutz, that's right, exactly. Early kibbutz breakfast.
All the hotels.
So, Amemar and Ravashi ate. Mazutra refused to eat. So they said to Mazutra, ha! My dietra. So we know why you're not eating. Because you are following Rabbi Yitzchak, who said, kola ocho yer kodem abashot, right? But we're eating, and you're talking to us. You might as well have eaten and enjoyed already. So, you're talking to us? So he said, no, but I don't hold it that Rabbi Yitzchak. I hold to the other Rabbi Yitzchak. Anak idak Rabbi Yitzchak Sfira Lake. The Om Rabbi Yitzchak Asur La Adam Sheyocha Yerek Chai Kodem Arba Sha'ot. It's the guy who's eating. He's the guy that's no good. That's you. But, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's not prohibited for me to talk to you guys. So I'm talking. Kol Katan Maktin. What does that say?
Another thing meant for health reasons, not to eat as well.
Yeah, or for troubling other people, but it's not us who talk to them. It's a question. It's like, beginner, we have to lech at the moment.
Disgusting. The same reason
disgusting
about
disgusting to talk to a guy that smells bad and so on. But, so, you know, these guys that love eating raw onions early in the morning. Yeah, it's a good thing it's not your wife. Omre Fista, filo gadia barzuza. For the Amal and the Lesbe Riva. Rav Kista says you could be talking about something that's very, very high quality. In other words, a Gedi, where you have, it's a very full of delicious meat, but it's not good for you because it's small. For the Amal and the Lesbe Riva, this is only if it hasn't grown to a fourth of its full size. Once it's grown to a fourth of its size, then let them, but we don't have a problem with it. We also said kol nefesh meshiv nefesh. Anything that's like alive, we're talking about goldfish swallowing over here, you know. Amr Papa afilo gildani de begili. Even these tiny little fish that they you find them among the reeds. So right near the seashore, you've got little fish that they make that their home because the big fish don't come there, so they don't get swallowed. And even those little fish are very good for making a meal out of. Kola karov la nefesh meshivat anafesh. Amar v'acha bar Yaakov. Let's talk about unka. Kola karov means that the place on the neck, unka's a neck, which is near the mokam ashrita. And that mokam is close to the heart and the lungs and so on. Amar le rova l'shami. And Rava would tell his valet, yimaiti le'um to the bistro, when you go out and buy me meat, you should make sure bring me the part tras ba'aitil mihech the mikra v'lebe baruch. Bring me the part which is close to where they're making the bracha, meaning the bracha of the shechita. Kruv is good for mazon. Tradin we said is good for fu'ah. Are you telling me that kruv is only good for satisfying you, nourishing you? It's not good if you're not feeling well. V'otanya shishad varim merapim atacholem mechoyo. The Brisa that says there's six things that are going to help a guy get better. Urefuatan refuah, and you can rely on it. This is real refuah. Kruv, and kruv is one of them. And obviously, it's a good thing. Meisisin, it's a trodden, of course. Meisisin, do they have a translation of that? Because Rashi just brings the French. Okay. Dvash. No. The keva, that's the rennet, the heret, and eating from the womb of an animal. The oteratakave, which is the diaphragm. So anyway, kruv obviously is a refuah, so why does it say kruv is only for mazon? Elaima kruv af le mazon. Then you said, woe to a house with turnips dancing through it.
He says it's a neighbor,
chamomile. Oh, that's interesting. Rashi has a word for foliol.
Babong.
Chamomile
is babong. Tea they sell.
Chamomile. Okay, that's good. It's interesting that chamomile. What is that?
They call it Pennyroyal.
Pennyroyal.
Which they say.
Okay, that's close to what Rashi means. That's foliol. I understand. Leafy vegetable. I mean, a plant. Omar le Rava l'shami kichazita. Is this true though? Any Omar Rava l'shami kichazita lifta b'shuka lo temeli b'maykarach tarifta. If you see turnips out there for sale in the shuk, I don't want to hear any questions about what we're going to be having for supper. So apparently, he thought turnips were quite good. No, Omar Rabaya, that's mibli basar. You can't eat it without putting it in a fleishadika tafshil. But he was talking about, you know, fill up a pot of turnips, put in a piece of meat, and we're set. Rava says, no, it's talking about the bli yayin. You got to have some wine to drink with it. Itmar Rav Amar bli basar, Shmuel Amar bli etzim. Shmuel says, what you need is energy, man. So in other words, you got to be able to cook this for a long time. And if you don't have a lot of fuel in the house, don't bake turnips. Rav Yochanan Amar bli yayin. And Rava asked Rav Papa, Sudani. Now, Sudani is a play on words. A Sudani was a beer maker. Of course, Rav Papa was a famous beer maker. But Sudani is also a play on Sod Hashem Li Re'av, which is a reference to Tamid Chachamim. So he would always call Rav Papa the ultimate Sudani, because he was the Talmud Chacham beer maker. You know? So it's a Sudani. Ananta Vila Bibisra Vechamra. We use, I hate saying this to a beer maker, you know, but we use wine and meat for turnips. But you guys, I know you don't go in much for the wine. I found a lot of fish of a chuchamra. I mean, Bobo, where are you going to get good wine? But my tabritalu, what do you bust the turnips with? Meaning, what do you break the koches of turnips? Amale bitsivi. We use a lot of wood, meaning we boil it a lot. Kiad the vita the Rav Papa, bought the mevashala. After Rav Papa's wife would cook a turnip stew, Tarala b'tmanan ufi parsaita, she would take these enormous, and 80 of these enormous pieces of wood, and she would put this into her oven one by one. For the next 2 days she'd be boiling up that stew, even though it was already cooked. Tanarabana, dag katan malia, little herring, you see. Pamim shu may meet. Now, sometimes it'll kill you. Now, you gotta know, if you want to eat this stuff, you gotta know when it was salted. So, now this stuff is deadly on the 7th day, the 17th day, the 27th day, and some say on the 23rd day, after the salting. So this is Russian roulette, which is why they love eating herring over there in Russia. But this is lo amrnela b'matvi v'lo matvi. It's only said if it wasn't properly prepared when you heated it. After they used to, now after they had a salted fish, they would fry it. So if you just put it briefly on top of the fire, then it could kill you. V'matvi shapir letlamba. Furthermore, even lo matvi shapir, even if it wasn't properly prepared, lo amrnela lo shatabat reshich, it's only if you didn't have some good beer with your herring. If you have some beer afterwards, that keeps it safe.
We had another Gemara that did not make such a chila. One just said that Gavilkim Katanim or Marvin or Marvin or Marvin is a good one. Don't not mention any.
Yeah, but they weren't salted.
I know, that's why you didn't.
That'll kill you. I mean, over here, the problem is the salt.
It's got to be salt.
Lafuke
ma. What do you do with this?
Drink beer, or don't go to kiddush.
It's got to be the salt.
Evie, how long does the herring sit around before you serve it?
It's about 7 days.
24 hours is minimum.
But how long? I mean, how long is the best?
It's 3 days.
3 days. Okay. The hashotem mayim litzimao lafuki mayim. When you're saying drinking water because you're thirsty, I mean, as opposed to what? As opposed to what? The guy's choking on a piece of meat. He's drinking water to try to swallow it. He does not have to make a bracha on the water because he's not drinking really water. So lafuki manda sanakteyumtsa. Now there's two ways of understanding this. First, the first thing is clearly referring to water, the Dafka Tosva says. Notice, because the water, the only hana'a from the water is not nourishment, it's the drinking. So that there, but if you'd be drinking something where you do have sugar in it, the nourishment, you'd make a bracha even if you're drinking it not for that, because we saw before, if you're drinking the refuah, as long as you were nene from it, we said you should make a bracha, right? So that's one issue. The other question is, there's a little bit of a gray area between chanakte umtsa to a case of shotamayim litzma'o. Let's say if somebody is not thirsty, but their throat is dry. Or somebody's not thirsty, but they know that they're going to get dehydrated. You know, so that's certainly not chanakte umtsa. But, I mean, it's water for the sake of the water, not water to use to wash something else down. But it's water without the hana of the shtiya. I'm maybe forcing myself to drink it. Actually, that's a machloket. The Rambam says that any time that you're taking water, not for the purposes of the pleasure of shtiya, that you would not make a bracha. So certainly it creates at least a suffix bracha. In other words, you're using water to take medicine and so on. So, or to make sure that you're hydrated properly. So, you know, you would not make a bracha. If you're taking juice, on the other hand, or coke, so then you would make a bracha, assuming that you can make a bracha on poison. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Borei Nefashot Rabot V'Chesronot. So, according to Rabbi Tarfon, Shabbos is a min klola. That's, you know, same as
the... Klola.
Borei Nefashot, they had one, but if I think that it's going gradually off the Mecca Cola. You know. Mecca Cola is min klola. So Amalei Rava Barav Chanan Lahabai, it's as they said, it's Rabbi Yosef, Ilchasamai. So what's the halacha? Is the halacha to say Borei Nefashot before we drink? Is there a mitzvah of saying Borei Nefashot after we drink? I'm like, what do you ask me what the bracha is? Like you've never been outdoors. Go see, what are people doing? When you see what people are doing, you know what the halacha is. There's no, what's the halacha? You're coming out to be smarter than everybody else. Anybody out there, every child, make the shock, only have a bara in the water. A barina v'shod rabot after the water, you're coming in, so what's the halacha? Have your halacha, take some mivorachim.
Lean nether.
You try doing that tomorrow. I keep talking about the Sunday morning breakfast.
He
says
the halacha is
kaminaga. Maybe that's why we're.
As opposed to what?
Just
Shahako. That's what I'm saying, yes.